We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it!
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking playing defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. I feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That pig was really strong.
Look out, Nene and Butler, butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I'm your host, C.T. Schwenk. Thank you for joining us here in Washington, D.C. this July 9th, 2015. We are we're back for a Midsummer Night's Dream edition, aren't we, David?
I didn't know that we were going to call it that. I didn't agree to that.
I threw it on top of the notes, and we can call it something else if you want to rename it. I'm open to suggestions.
I don't have any ideas, but something will come up.
Right, as we get rolling.
During the pod, yeah.
Exactly. Well, I know you guys have been clamoring for some pod action. There's a lot that's happened as it pertains to the Washington Wizards, and, you know, it had to happen over a couple weeks, essentially. This has been, you know, 3 weeks worth of news that's built up here under our belts, so we'll be sure to crack it all tonight. But before we get going, check us out on Twitter at Zardcast. Have we gotten over 200 followers yet? That's really sad to say. Put us over the edge, guys. And you know, if you enjoy the pod, if you like following us on Twitter, I bet you've got some friends that will too. So maybe you should share it on your Facebook, on your Twitter, whatever social media platform you like to use. You should also subscribe on iTunes. That's the best way to get the show, especially during these summer months when our recording schedule is a little more erratic. We'll probably record again in August, but just so you're on top of it, go to your podcast app, Overcast, Downcast, Podbay, whatever you may use over there, and hit the old subscribe button and maybe give us a review too while you're at it, because that does help us move up in the iTunes ecosystem. Zardcast.com, also where you can find all of our fine work. I was checking out the... I have a tool where I can see like where people are listening. I can get states and then countries. Shout out if you're listening over in Japan, the Great Britain, or Great Britain, not like the Ukraine, no, or the Australia, the Great Down Under, I guess, since we're throwing those out. But yeah, we also have those were like sporadic downloads, so you never know about those things, but we definitely have... There's at least one listener who lives in San Jose, California. So shout out to that guy.
Damn.
Wherever you may be. Probably in San Jose.
That guy sounds really cool.
Yeah, he's sweet for sure.
Love to get him on the pod.
Yeah, if you're that guy from San Jose, California downloading, give us a shout on Twitter at Zardcast. And just you and I tonight, Dave. Dave, my lovely roommate, co-host. You've been clamoring to pod. I've been kind of a busy beaver. We've been trying to get our third member, Duncan Perfect Roth, on, but he's...
Well, don't say you've been busy and I've been trying to do it. Like, I don't have anything else to do.
Well, I didn't mean it like that. It's just like you've been the proactive one about trying to start the podcasting fire.
Yeah, I've been looking to get the cans back on and go to work.
You love cans. That's a fact. Well, we tried to get Duncan on with us, but... you know, ever since the economic downturn in Puerto Rico that they're going through right now, he saw this as an opportunity to do some business endeavor. I thought that was
good. He opened a sweatshop, is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, it's technically a territory, so I don't know what the laws are, how they differ from federal laws. But he had a dream, and he went down there to pursue it, and hopefully he'll be back in August with us. So just you and I tonight. No big deal. We're going to have lots of fun. There's lots of news to catch up on. And because of that, yes, breaking news here. Drew Gooden, the third, re-signs with the Washington Wizards, essentially fills out the roster, all 15 slots currently occupied. I guess I had in my notes, actually, you know, going through with Kelly Oubre Jr. and their new additions. We'll get to that in a second. But they had one spot left on the roster, and it seems they've done filled it. My dreams of Des Wells joining the team dashed, but that's okay. Drew Gooden, he deserved it, I would say. I mean,
I don't think you necessarily have to worry about I mean, I don't think Des Wells ever really had a great shot at making like the opening
right
roster, but he could come up. We mm-hmm. certainly could send Oubre to the. Is that how you pronounce it? Oubre?
Yes, I believe so. Kelly Oubre Jr., the 15th overall selection in the NBA draft by your Washington Wizards. So let's start there. That's probably, I don't know if it's the biggest piece of news, but the Wizards, they trade up in the NBA draft. They select Kansas freshman Kelly Oubre Jr.
So we got another junior on the squad now.
Yes.
Him and Otto, and then Drew Gooden the third.
Yeah, he's a junior. So, you know, just some great family names running through the Wizards organization, I guess. It was a bit of a proactive move. The Wizards, they deal away 2 second-round picks. You don't really see the Wizards doing that. I guess, you know, they had their eye. They knew who they wanted. They just figured that he wouldn't be around. And when they saw that he was sliding a little bit, Ernie got proactive. And, yeah, he's kind of a prospect, or more so than he's not ready to play, you know, tomorrow. He might be, but probably not. And he didn't really crack the court at Kansas till later in the season, but he's long been considered, you know, a top NBA prospect. Before the college basketball season started, he was really even, he could have, people were penciling him, you know, top 5, definitely top 10. So, you know, a little bit of a leap on that end. Definitely need some, I guess, probably 2 or 3 years, you'd think, until he'd make some meaningful contributions. You were kind of upset with the move. We watched the pick together. Mm-hmm. How do you feel now? I feel like you might have come around on it based on other roster moves, maybe, but tell us how you felt then, and then where you are right now.
Well, I want to make a strong disclaimer here that I don't know anything about college basketball. I'd never heard of this guy until, you know, his name was called. I maybe read his name on some mock drafts, but I certainly didn't ever consider him in the same context as the Wizards. So I don't know. I don't know who any of these guys are.
Okay.
But based on everything that I did read, it seemed to me that Bobby Portis would have been like the perfect Wizards pick. And when they traded up, you know, I saw that mm-hmm. flash on the screen. I said, this is awesome. They got a guy that fits exactly what they're trying to do. They're going to get Bobby Portis. And then they took this guy who is another wing, which is not, and a project at that.
Yes.
When, in my opinion, we were trying to get, from what I saw of the Wizards' plan, it was get as good as possible right now without tying up any like future, you know, cap space, making commitments, doing anything dumb. And I thought Bobby Portis was like a no-brainer there. And then you draft this guy who is, you know, a project. I just thought it seemed like they were overthinking it. And then the Wizards signed Jared Dudley, traded for Jared Dudley, which made me feel a little better about it. If they have, you know, a four that could shoot a little bit, or just anyone that can play the four other than Nene and Chris Humphries and Drew Gooden. But then they got Allen Anderson, who I feel like is just going to be an even bigger logjam. So I don't really know what the plan is with this guy, and I haven't heard anything from Ernie or the Wizards about what exactly their thinking was in drafting him.
I agree. To me, he seems like a, he just seems like a, like Otto Porter kind of all over again, essentially, just a younger, possibly, you know, a guy with a higher ceiling, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Someone who we haven't seen as much from because Otto played 3 years and this kid's only played one and really even half a season at that.
And so I've heard him described as a lot of the, you know, downside and maybe why he, like you said, was originally supposed to be like a really, really touted prospect is that it seems like there's a chance that he's like basketball retarded.
That's never good.
So I feel like maybe his skill set is kind of similar to Otto, but Otto was a pretty safe guy. Like I feel like even when he didn't play for half his rookie year, you're like he'll be okay.
Yeah, I mean I'm totally with you in terms of like the value of the pick. You know, like, why did you have to move up to get this guy when what you supposedly needed was, you know, available to you in many different ways? I can't remember who exactly. These guys are totally out of my mind now. But there were a couple different – there is at least one or two other guys on the board who around where the Wizards would have picked at 19, I was looking at like, oh, I mean, they could have just stayed there and gotten him.
Right. Well, they could have stayed at 19 and gotten Bobby Portis.
Right. Didn't he fall – he fell into the 20s.
He fell to the fucking Bulls. Which makes all of this so much worse.
Mm-hmm. If he's able to develop and come back and haunt the Wizards, that would be classic Wiz for sure. Let's see what we got here. One thing about getting this guy who you're, you know, basically hoping he fulfills his potential rather than what he can show you right now is that they're entrusting Randy Whitman to develop him. That's a big problem I've had. We've seen it with Otto, obviously. That's my biggest fear, is that they're just gonna keep him under lock and key needlessly.
Right.
And I think that, I mean, we saw with Otto, like, there's really no reason why we did not see him until late in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who knows how long Randy will be around, actually, but...
Right.
And we've even seen with Brad, too, you know, when Brad started taking more threes in the playoffs, like, that is a strategy that worked over him
right.
taking long, too. So, you know, there's that element in play as well.
And I think, going back to the Bobby Portis thing, he sounded like a guy that could play right away and plays in such a way that Whitman wouldn't really be able to keep him on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as, you know, giving up draft picks to get them, and this is... how low my expectations for Ernie have become is that I didn't even care, because what the fuck was he going to do with a second round draft pick?
Well, I'll tell you what he did this time. He didn't sell it. he boldly drafted a player in the second round. I'm trying to think of like something like equivalent in my life that's like super scary when you do it for the first time or you haven't done it in a while. Maybe like going to the dentist, like you only do it once a year. So like, do you really want to stick around for the fluoride? Like, or do you just want to just say, forget it? Like, my teeth are clean. I don't need the fluoride. Is that how Ernie Grunfeld feels about second round picks?
I can't imagine what, obviously I know even less about this guy from Iowa.
Yes. I am familiar with him. We can talk about him in a second.
Okay. Never seen him play or anything like it, but just when I saw his face pop up on the TV, I was just like, this is bullshit. You're going to draft this guy? And then send him to Europe? This guy from Iowa? He's going to kill himself over there.
Maybe he'll fit. Maybe he'll slide right in. I don't know where he's from originally. I just know he played
I would
in
bet
Iowa.
It's from fucking Iowa.
Well, yeah, he's definitely from the Midwest, no doubt. But maybe, actually... So they draft, we'll just keep going, we'll run through the draft here. So they draft Aaron White out of Iowa. I don't know if he was his junior or senior. Power forward, I don't really like him, like, personally. But anyway, I've seen this guy play. He decimated Maryland, for sure. And he is, like, he's, like, very standard, do-it-all power forward. He was in the college game, at least, and he was very good. So I think there's hope for this guy. I mean, you never know how an all around good player in college will translate to the NBA. But you know, he plays in Europe for a couple of years. He comes back, and you know, maybe he's really ready to elevate his game. I think it's a good move. I also just like the fact that they already, as soon as they drafted him, they were like, "Oh, you're going to go play in Europe and then come back to us." That's right. Something that the Wizards never do. And nice to see them employ that strategy. Maybe it'll work out this time.
Maybe so, it will.
That's all I got to say about Aaron White. Two things about Kelly Oubre before we totally jump the draft here. Do you think Kelly Oubre will have problems being serious about basketball? Because basketball is a serious sport, Dave. Did you see those shoes?
Yeah, I think that's always a pretty stupid thing. Like a bunch of,
was it Thom Lavaro in the Washington Times? I was like, how can he be serious about basketball if he has spiky shoes?
How can you be serious about your life? That's how you spend it, is chasing these guys around the country or sitting there on your radio show and denigrating like an 18-year-old kid.
Right.
No, I don't.
There are way more compelling things to write about on draft night than Kelly Oubre Jr.'s shoes and whether that equates to basketball drive and hunger.
Right. No, that's some Colin Coward level. I got no interest in any of that.
I was actually trying to jog my memory about who said that, and I the first thing in my mind, my mental Rolodex, was Colin Coward. I was like, did he really say that? No, he did not. This is definitely the biggest thing about Kelly Oubre Jr. Secret subplot alert. Kevin Durant, like a big brother to Kelly. He said it today, and then I think Kevin Durant, I think the swirl of Kevin Durant's Kelly Oubre love resulted from an Instagram post on draft night. And then yesterday, Oubre said explicitly that they're tight.
I think that is probably, I mean, I hope to God that's not why we drafted the dude. Like, if you want to bring his high school coach on the coaching squad,
great.
That's fine. Go for it. You know, every little bit matters as long as you're not using your first round draft pick to try to influence that. I can't imagine that swaying Kevin Durant, especially because, like, what is the extent of their relationship? Like an Instagram post?
Right. Maybe, are they like...
they've interacted in person? What?
Right. Kevin Durant is like 6-7 years older than Kelly Oubre. Right. Like, maybe they like grew up. He's not from this area. I don't. Maybe just like AAU circuit? I have no idea. But obviously...
yeah.
It's not like... I don't know. It can't be the case. I don't want it to be. But if it was... I would tickle my fancy for sure. Ernie's latest ploy. You know, he's done a lot of good moves lately. Maybe this is just, you know, his way of like, oh, yeah, we got this prospect. He's going to need some time to filter out. Built-in excuse is already there. Anywho.
I think a third significant thing about him is that he's super handsome. I'm trying to hang out with him, just sort of swim in his wake.
Yeah.
Around D.C., if we could figure out where he likes to hang out.
Where? Oh, that's such an interesting thing. He is a 19-year-old kid from Kansas, where he was probably...
So he's from Kansas?
He's not from Kansas, oh, but okay. He's been living in wherever they have... wherever Kansas University is. He's from Louisiana, New Orleans. He's going to come here, 19-year-old... cash just lining his pockets, like he can, you know, get into any bar or club that he wants in DC. We know how to have a good time in DC. Maybe we can show him the ways.
Maybe he'll hear this podcast.
Let's hope so.
I would think, like, if I got drafted to a team, first thing I would do, listen to as many local podcasts as possible.
You want to get a feel for the fan culture,
mm-hmm.
The pulse.
Right.
So, Kelly, if you're listening, we'll take you out.
Let's chill, bro.
Brixton, great time on Saturday night. Tell you what. Close to the Verizon Center, we got Penn Social, Iron Horse. You know, we've got options. So hit us up at Zardcast on Twitter. Let's go. I think this is the biggest... okay, if we have to order like the importance of these stories, I would put this as my most important. But I would the story that follows, I will say, is the most like impactful in the future. So the first one would be Paul Pierce leaving goodbye to join the Clippers. Unfortunately, it definitely hurts, but you know it makes sense. He's going back to Doc to LA, and he was part of the meeting to get DeAndre Jordan back to LA, and he also took the whole NBA emoji thing yesterday. I know this is sad Paul Pierce time, but he took it to a different level by posting a picture of a giant rocket. So I know you're this one definitely upsets you.
Yeah, it actually reminded me it was almost exactly how I felt when I found out that he was coming to DC, except the exact opposite. I'd never been a Paul Pierce fan, didn't like the guy. And then I found out he was on the Wizards, and I was like, man, I love this dude. I don't know how I ever had any negative feelings about him. And then, you know, throughout this season, obviously super positive feelings toward him all year. And then even up until when I was just in basically denial at the point, I was like, well, he could come back. He just opted out to make a little bit more money. But then once he left, I was like, man, fuck this guy.
That was definitely the final stage of now. Oh, yeah, he just wants his extra $1 or $2 million.
Right.
Is this how you feel right now, Dave? I think I've got the perfect encapsulation for it. How do
I breathe? No. No.
Okay, hold on. Maybe this is how you feel.
That's it, I think. That's way closer, at least.
Okay. Glad we covered that.
Yeah, I don't understand.
God, I hope the Clippers just bomb out of the playoffs in just like horrific fashion next year.
Yeah.
Exclusively because of Paul Pierce leaving, because I don't really like Chris Paul, but. Or Doc, for that matter, really.
Yeah, I just don't get how. It really makes me think that he never wanted to, like, this was never his first choice to be in the first, like, he would have rather been LA the whole time, and that it is, like, a shitty decision. Why would you want to go play with, like, his thing, you know, his like, reputation mm-hmm. in the NBA is that he's a tough guy who, like, wins, has always been. You know, talks a lot of trash on the court, will just beat you regardless of, you know, he went up against LeBron when mm-hmm. he was clearly on the wrong side of his prime and LeBron was coming up and he still battled him for a long time. And then he's going to go play with the whiny ass Clippers and
like cede control of a team to Chris Paul. Like,
right. Yeah. I thought that when he came to the Wizards, it was really cool. I was like, this guy recognizes his career is, you know, he's about done. He wants to go, like, impart some wisdom and some toughness to a new team. And then he's like, oh, no, I would rather go chase a, like, 10%, probably worse than that, shot at winning a ring in L.A. because I really like Doc Rivers. Who really likes Doc Rivers? I bet even Austin Rivers is like, well, he signs my checks, but I still fucking hate that guy.
I think the one of the bigger problems for him is the Clippers are going to have to rely more on Paul Pierce than the Wizards would, because their bench is atrocious.
Yeah.
And especially like if Paul Pierce would have hung out, I mean, I guess Jared Dudley probably wouldn't have been in the fold, but I don't know. I feel like Paul Pierce got plenty of rest last year, and I mean, he was out for a couple weeks. It was fine, but I feel like that bench, man, that's gross.
Yeah,
and they're gonna need him. I don't know, more than the Wizards would.
So. Right, and Jamal Crawford, like, clearly crossed over to the negative side of Jamal Crawford's game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, for sure. He's not.
For a long time there, he'd been a net positive. Like, he takes a lot of crazy shots, but he used to make a lot of them. And then the playoffs last year, he was a disaster. And then you bring in Lance Stephenson. That's your move?
I was shocked that he wasn't invited to the excursion to Houston to convince DeAndre Jordan to stay. What?
Oh, I forgot you guys signed this dude. Get the fuck out of here.
You're bringing this crazy asshole to my house? Well, we bid thee adieu, Paul Pierce. It is sad, but I guess you have to be of Dave's mindset. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. It's auto time.
It's auto time, and it's also Jared Dudley time!
Dude, imagine if in a Wizards-Clippers game this year, Otto and Paul Pierce matched up, and Otto
just started, like, giving it to him.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That'd be so tight. Jared Dudley, too. He could give him the business.
Yeah.
They basically, the Wizards here, I think you put it best, they turned Andre Miller
mm-hmm.
into Jared Dudley.
Right, because they used that trade exception they got
yes.
from the Sessions trade, and yep.
This is
I have no idea why the Bucks gave up Jared Dudley.
I think it's just salary dump is what I don't know anything about the Bucks salary situation, but
he had just opted in. I mean, he was off the books next year anyways. He was supposedly like their number one locker room guy.
I don't know, man. All I know is that Ernie Grunfeld, he for all of his mystery, you know, and with the Kelly Oubre pick, and some of his poorer deals, the fact that he pretty much produced Jared Dudley out of thin air for a second round pick with a trade exception, like, that's pretty genius. And it's you know, a magnificent replacement for Paul Pierce. He's younger. He brings the locker room presence. He's a good defender. He's a good 3-point shooter. And he's going to play the entire season. I mean, you're not going to have to worry about, you know, letting him sit for, you know, every couple games. I was a big Jared Dudley fan when he played for the Suns back in the day with Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire.
And he's apparently only 30. I thought he was, you know, a few years older than that.
Mm-hmm. Turning, if he's not 30 like today, it will be like very soon.
And I think that might have something to do with that sort of disastrous stint that he had with the Clippers year before that, but he was very hurt the whole time, is what it sounds like. He was real good with the Bucks.
Played in 72 games, I'm pretty sure. I think he started like 20 some of them. I wonder what, I mean, maybe we can speculate at the end what the lineup will look like. If he starts, if you see, you know, Otto out there at the three or the four, who knows? Anyway.
I don't think there's any chance that he'll start.
Love the signing. I think it's great. I think most of Wizards fans, it seemed the reaction on Twitter, you know, Reddit, the message boards was a little, I mean, definitely positive, but not like, you know, I feel like we were in here, we were high-fiving and going wild, but I feel like most of it was tempered positive reaction. And I encourage Wizards fans to get more up on this. I think this is a great move. 1 year on the books? Right. Hell yeah. This is what they needed. And really, it came at the end of, I mean, we knew the Wizards didn't have any money to spend in free agency. So the question was, like, where are these guys going to come from to fill out the roster and kind of plug some of these holes in, you know, Jared Dudley in our laps.
And, yeah, he very quickly, you could tell that it didn't seem like he saw it coming. It seems like he opted in to that little contract with the Bucks because he wanted to stay there. But then he came to D.C., like, switched his Twitter avatar over to whatever that picture is that someone drew of him.
Started
interacting with people on Twitter. Like, he's hyped to be here, which is a cool thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mentioned locker room presence. He's like an energy guy on the court and just like a really positive, like, friendly guy. I'm a big Jared Dudley fan. Big time.
Where did he go to school? Boston College?
Yes. Yes. On the heels of that, another new Wizard, welcome to D.C., Gary Neal. He's familiar with the area. Towson grad. He's on a one-year deal worth $2.1 million. He played with the Hornets and the T-Wolves last year. I admittedly do not know a whole lot about him, but they signed him pretty much for his 3-point shooting, like in, you know, a bench score. That's, you know, a huge area where the Wizards, they were lacking in last year. So, you know, another, I mean, it's hard to call a Gary Neal signing a home run, but for what they were looking for, I think it was perfect. And again, late in free agency, really as far as that timeline goes, and plugs a hole, bench shooter. It's great.
It's definitely not a home run. It's like if your pitcher comes up and hits a single. It's like, that's exactly what we were looking for there. Although, man, a lot of caveats to what I'm about to say.
Caveat it up.
Based on just some, like, Twitter and Reddit scuttlebutt, this dude is the exact opposite of a good locker room guy.
Interesting. Did not know that.
But, I mean, I read a little bit of his, like, intro interviews today, and I really like. Somebody asked him about like mentoring Wall and Beal, and he was like, "Why would I do that? Their careers are way brighter than mine." Are.
Right.
So I don't know exactly what it is, if he's just, but he's a good player, and that's a good, yeah, that's definitely a good pickup. They need another, like a pure backup two.
Yep.
Which we have not ever had, like, as long as, I can't even remember who the last.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dramatic upgrade over Garrett Temple and Rasul Butler, for sure.
But neither of them are even natural twos anyways, really.
Yeah. That's what they're playing as, so.
Right.
It is, yeah, quite perfect for what they needed. You're right, just your pitcher hitting a single. Your backup right fielder, he makes a nice catch, saves the game for you. It's baseball season, folks.
If you get too deep into these baseball analogies, I won't know what you're talking about.
One of the worst times of the year, actually, to watch, the worst sporting time of the year, but be, as a result, SportsCenter is just
a bunch of web gems.
It's rough. It's tough out there. Not for Alan Anderson, though. 1 year, $4 million. Woo, that's good cooking.
Alan Anderson is a good player.
Tell us about him, Dave. Comes over from the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the few guys on the Nets that, I mean, obviously I didn't watch a lot of Nets basketball. I'm not a fucking masochist.
but I heard, I was just on Twitter, one of the guys I follow, I think he does college and then some NBA kind of draft stuff, but he was like, I don't even want to watch the Nets summer team. Like, that's a black hole in itself.
Right. But he has just always seemed like a very competent player to me. He shoots a ton of threes, which mm-hmm. is an awesome thing.
Yes.
He loves to shoot threes. So, Randy, your best backup three, he's going to be out there and he's going to be chucking threes, which is good. And that's like the thing that Randy doesn't seem to understand is that you don't even have to be great at shooting three pointers for that to be like,
yeah,
the best thing to do is just shoot a bunch of them.
But hey, now they have guys who do it well.
Mm-hmm.
Something there was a lack of last year. So welcome to DC, Alan Anderson. Let's see. Let's move on down the line here. A bit of sad free agency news. It was fun while it lasted, the hype, the rumors, the speculation. But David West, he ultimately spurns the Zards and heads down to San Antonio after LaMarcus Aldridge decides he's going to play there as well. He's going to play for the veterans minimum. I think the Wizards offered him around $11 million. I think the Cavs offered him $12 million, which when they swooped in, I was like, oh, come on, guys. Like,
no, I think... The
oh, those the Pacers maybe what the Pacers were offering.
So he opted out of like 11 with the Pacers. The Cavs had maybe a little more than the Spurs did. But
oh, okay, never mind. Disregard everything I just said.
I think so. Yeah, because they're so far over the cap, they don't have. I think the only thing they were offering was like part of their mid-level exception. We were offering him the whole thing,
right,
which is like $6.5 million. But yeah, fuck him too.
Yeah, him and his shaved legs and his terrible carp DM tattoos on his calves.
What kind of NBA tough guy enforcer gets carpe DM
and shaves his legs? My God! And then he's got that. It's the ultimate, like, it's awful. He's got that terrible pube beard, and then the rest of his body's hairless.
And I'm saying this now, but when I thought there was a chance we were going to get him, first I was hyped that he even just, like, that it was out there that he was considering us.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we would have been stacked if we added David West.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely part of the excitement. It was like, well, he joins the squad. I mean, this is a legitimate NBA title contender, you know? I mean, that was the power forward position was the biggest hole, and if you could fill it with a, that would have been a home run, obviously. But yeah,
but he's also pretty old too. Mm-hmm. The fact that he did decide to go play for the Spurs, you know, behind LaMarcus Aldridge and Tim Duncan, if he is like on board with playing, you know, not very many minutes, that might suggest that he's kind of on his way out regardless.
Yeah, I mean, that whole situation, I think, especially with those three guys in that position, you know, obviously LaMarcus Aldridge is going to be carrying the bulwark of that front court, but, you know, now you got some room to rest these guys. You can stretch out their playing time a little bit, and come playoff time, they'll be ready to go. So, scary thing out west. Thank God the Wizards don't have to play them, because they would get pummeled.
Yeah.
I think that's about it here, Dave. Is there here we go. One more thing on my list. I was talking to a friend, and I think we can revisit this once we get into the season many times, I'm sure, but I think we officially have to declare KD to DC watch is like on. Now that the finals are over, you know, draft's done, free agency's pretty much quieted down. It's on. Speculation, I mean, he had some like little web documentary come out today where yesterday, I don't remember exactly what it was, but, you know, something to the effect of like, oh, it came from DC and now I'm here. Like, and he could have, you know, said Seat Pleasant or wherever he's from in PG right. County, but he said DC. And, you know, that, of course, got the Twitters fired up.
You know what?
So I think it's official. The watch is on.
Another thing that just happened right before we recorded this. Portland, God bless Portland, lobbed the first bomb at the KD to OKC battleship with offering Cantor that max contract, or $70 million, whatever it was.
Yeah.
That puts them in a really tough position. I think regardless of what the Thunder do here, they're going to look bad, at least at first. If they re-sign him, everyone acknowledges that's a terrible contract for this dude that not only is like pretty bad defensively, but also everyone hates.
Nobody likes an Enes Kanter. Literally nobody.
So seems like it will be a bad deal for them to match it, which it sounds like they're actually going to do. Or if they let him walk, that's, you know, the second high-profile time that the Thunder have been like, well, we're not trying to pay the luxury tax or pay a lot of it.
I don't – especially when you've got KD and Russell Westbrook on your team. You were saying this in our group chat with our buddies earlier, but you just got to fucking go for it. I mean,
right.
As much of a scumbag Dan Gilbert is, he's going to write that luxury tax check with zeal. He's going to be right. Happy about it, because he knows loading up like this means a chance for a championship. And I
right. And the Warriors just, you know, paid Draymond Green $85 million.
Yeah.
Which I don't think other teams, you know, maybe one or two would have, but I think he's pretty like objectively not worth that mm-hmm. to. It just changes like the equation for all your players when you have a title window open, and it yeah. seems like the Thunder aren't operating under the same rules everybody else is.
Yeah, you'd think. I mean, I have no idea what their salary cap situation is, but like, you know, you got guys like David Westby like begging to play for the veterans minimum
right.
on a title contender, and that's like not something that you ever see from people. No one, OKC is never in the mix for something like that,
right?
Which is kind of bizarre.
But that's the thing is it seems like that's how
they just don't
nowadays.
Care.
Nowadays, you have to do it almost. Is right. that you have to overpay your, you know, already core guys that you can overpay mm-hmm. so that you can get the other people in, because people will pay less money if yeah. you're if you got a wide enough or like a good enough shot at a title.
Manu took like way less money. They had to talk him into it too.
Tim Duncan just signed for yeah. like $5 million, which is not. I mean, the Spurs are like an outlier, but I think the Cavaliers is and the Warriors are both a pretty good example of that. Like, you pay whatever it takes to keep you know, the core guys, even if they're not worth that on an open market, because at least in theory, winning a championship is worth more than, you know, whatever you're paying, overpaying every year.
Right.
But if the Thunder and Sam Presti don't think that that's a good thing to do, then that's great for us.
Also on the KD to DC watch, a lot of pictures of KD yucking it up with Billy Donovan at these summer league games. Can you imagine the meeting that Sam Presti had with Billy Donovan? Your only goal for this entire year is to retain Kevin Durant in 2016.
But he's secretly been working with Brad Beal this whole time. That's
oh,
how
man.
He left.
Yeah, it's...
He said, Brad, you were the handsomest and nicest boy I ever had on my team. So whatever you want from me, you got it.
Definitely the nicest. I saw an Instagram video of him working out at his local high school gym, wherever the hell he is. But
sweet Brad. Yeah. I'm sure he put all the weights away as soon as he was done.
Probably might even wiped up the gym floor too.
Oh, he absolutely did that. And, you know, there if there were other guys around, he said, "Hey, bro, you want to work in? You know, we can alternate sets."
Oh, I'm sorry, I get so sweaty, you guys. Just working hard out here. NBA life. Anything else you want to discuss, Dave? Do you have a personal story you want to tell, or is that off the table now? Okay, well, maybe we'll share next time.
Okay.
It involves someone tangentially connected to the Wizards. But next time. All right. Well, thank you for joining us. Again, at Zardcast on Twitter, zardcast.com. Subscribe on iTunes, Downcast, Overcast, Podbay, all of those fine podcasting services. We will be back in August, hopefully. I think we should probably maybe do one or two more shows before we like fire it up for the season. I don't know. The off season is like in full swing. Maybe we could do like a post summer league one. Obviously last summer was the summer of Glenn Rice Jr. and Otto Porter, but the Wizards will have to, it'll be tough to follow up on that, but you know, if they do well and it's like fun to watch.
I would love to do a summer league one.
Okay. Well, we'll come back with some summer league then. That sounds good. So until then, as I said, at Zardcast, Zardcast.com. Subscribe on iTunes. And thank you for joining us. Tell a friend if you enjoyed this podcast. You probably have friends who like the Wizards. That'd be nice. So until next time, for my co-host David Keffer, I am CT Schwenk. That was Zardcast.